made the decision to be baptized into Christ. And so we all gathered up over at Jake's house and utilized the baptistry on his back porch, a.k.a. the hot tub that we've been wearing out here lately. And so we're really proud of you, Samantha, and look forward to what God's going to do. We're going through 30 days with Jesus right now. So as a church, everybody, you know, we're going through that, but we're going to give you that Deep Convictions book. Okay. And also, we forgot it this morning, but we'll make sure and give it to you.
Okay.
But glad you're here.
Thank you.
You guys give her another hand. All right, so I've got another question. This one aimed at everybody. When you were younger, especially, I know a lot of us, we're poor now. It's just the nature of our church. But when you were younger, did you ever feel poor, like financially? Did you ever wish you had more money? Yeah, especially as like a young teen, right? Do you guys ever feel poor? Yeah? Do you like money? I need three volunteers who like money. Don't, not all at once now. Not, you guys are looking at, okay, volunteers, raise your hand. Come on, come on, come on. Okay, how about this? The first three young people, junior high, who would like money, the first three to get up here. Come on, come on. Okay, okay, okay. One, two, three. There you go. Rest of you lose out. Now, listen, here's the deal, okay? We're going to do this in an orderly fashion. We're not going to push. We're not going to pull hair, Ronnie. We're not going to mess with the stuff that has wires on it. We're not going to spill any drinks. Do you guys understand? Okay. But what if I told you that from right here forward, somewhere in this room, there's a $20 bill? And, what if I told you on the count of three, the first person to find that $20 bill gets to keep it? And what if it's not fake? What if it's a real $20 bill? We'll see. Okay, so here's the deal. From here forward, ready? One, two, three, go. Yep, yep, yep. No, no youth leaders. All right, you're searching carefully, right? Search, search, search. You guys can egg them on if you want to. Come on. Search around. Da, 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 da. I'm not here. I'm not here. All right. It's hidden good. I'm just going to tell you, it's hidden well. I'm not going to make it easy on you. All right. Somebody's getting warmer. Somebody. Somebody's up, oh, colder. Everybody's colder. Oh, everybody. Oh, you're getting warmer. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're getting hot. You're getting really hot. You're getting hot. Really hot. Really hot. Oh my gosh, Nephi's going to catch on fire. Oh, we got a winner. We got a winner. All right, Ronnie. Okay, now guys, come here. Come here. Now let me ask a question. Why was that $20 lost? Did that $20 know it was lost?
No.
Why?
Because it was on the road.
It's not a person.
It's okay. It doesn't really think it's lost, right?
It don't have a brain.
Okay, so why didn't it just sprout legs and come jump in your pocket? Yeah, you wish. Yeah, me too. Well, why did you guys look so hard for it? Because you were all over. You were looking hard for that $20. Why?
Because it's money.
Oh, yeah? Okay. So it's got some value to it. Ronnie, what are you going to spend your $20 on?
I'm saving it with my sister for PS4.
A PS4? Oh, my. Oh, my. All right. Guys, thank you. Give me five. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your help. You guys give them a hand. Yeah, so today we're looking at the second parable in our series. We're looking at Luke 15, and we're kind of breaking down the three parables that are there. And the theme verse for our series, there's a set of notes in your bulletin if you want to pull those out. The theme verse for our series is coming from Luke 19:10. It tells us about the heart of God, and it says, "The Son of Man came to look for and to save people who are lost." That is the purpose of Christ coming into the world. That's the purpose of Jesus' ministry. Son of Man is just another title that's used for the Messiah or Jesus. And so Jesus is the one who stated this. I came into the world to seek and to save the lost. I left heaven where I sat at the right hand of God with all the power of God. I made myself a human being, made myself a little baby, came into the world specifically to seek and to save the lost. This messed up world that we're in. And in Luke 15, there's a group of religious people that Jesus encounters that really kind of look down their noses at people that were dirty according to their standards, people that weren't like them, who maybe didn't follow all the traditions and stuff that they did with their religion. And they made some snooty comments about Jesus hanging out with these sinners. Well, then Jesus tells this series of parables or these little stories to illustrate how God feels about sinners and how God illustrates about lost people. Last week, Jake did a good job talking through that first story that Jesus told about the parable of the lost sheep. Do you guys remember why the lost sheep was lost? What was the characteristic the sheep had that caused it to get lost? It was weak, right? It wasn't because it was rebellious, it was just a dumb sheep. And so last week, Jake informed us all that we are like dumb sheep sometimes. Very tactfully. That's someone who's lost due to weakness. Sometimes we get lost, not because we intend to get lost. In the story talks about the parable of the lost coin. This week, that's what we're going to look at. The lost coin is lost due to what, would you say? Is the lost coin lost because it's weak? Is the lost coin lost because it's rebellious? No. The lost coin in this story is lost because someone was negligent in caring for this coin. And so let's just look at the parable real quick. It's just two verses, Luke 15, 8 through 10. This is on your notes. He says, "Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I found the coin which I had lost.' In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." So Jesus is making a point to these religious people who didn't really care about sinners. They didn't really care if somebody repented. Jesus is saying, this is the heart of God. This is what makes God and the angels jump up and down with joy, is when a sinner repents. And anytime he tells a parable, the point of Jesus telling a parable is for us to find ourselves in it. It's for us to see our world through it. And so we're going to jump into this parable and talk about what we need to learn from the lost coins this morning. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to do just that. Father, I want to thank you for the Crossings Church Collinsville. Man, I get excited every time I come here on a Sunday. There's a lot of good things happening. We've got people that are coming to know you. We've got people that are deepening their relationships with you. We've got a congregation that's engaged in the Word throughout the week, and different groups that are meeting where we're just kind of celebrating what you're doing among us, Lord. And so I pray as we open the Scriptures this morning, that you will pierce our hearts with your truth, and that we can apply it to our lives, that this won't just be a lesson, God, that is separate from application, because we know transformation really occurs when we take the Word and don't just learn what it says, God, but actually apply it to our lives. And so I pray that we can do that faithfully this morning, and it's in your name I pray. Amen. All right, so there's three facts about lost coins that I want to hone in on here. The first one is coins are lost through the negligence of others. That's the first blank in your notes. Coins are lost through the negligence of others. Remember, Jesus is comparing lost coins to lost people. And he's saying sometimes people get lost due to no fault of their own. Sometimes people become lost because there is someone or some things, there's some form of negligence that has caused this person to go far from God. And if one person is responsible for the lost state of another, God takes that serious. We see this in Matthew 18:6. Jesus says, "These little ones believe in me. It would be best for the person who causes one of them to lose faith to be drowned in the sea with a large stone hung around his neck." That doesn't sound very pleasant. Jesus, the meek and the gentle. This is how he feels about people who cause somebody else to be lost. And again, this was directed at religious people that were shutting the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces through their own traditions and their own misunderstandings of the Bible. He takes that serious. And we've got to make sure we're doing everything we can to help, being careful not to hurt. And we'll talk practically about how we do that in a minute. But the second fact about coins, coins don't know they are lost, but they are lost. Coins don't know they're lost, but they're lost. George Orwell penned an essay years ago that offers a graphic illustration, a graphic image of human lostness. He talks about that he was eating toast and jam one day, and a wasp came and landed on his plate, and he took his knife and he cut the wasp in half. And the wasp just kept right on eating to the point where he could actually see the jam coming out the esophagus that was severed of the wasp. The wasp didn't even know anything was wrong. It was like, oh, this is good, you know? The wasp found out something was wrong when it attempted to fly. And when it attempted to fly, it realized, oh, I'm in a bad spot here. And then it died. Human beings are much the same way. We can go through life not realizing that we've been cut off from the source of life. We can go through life living in our comfort, living in our security that we find in finances or jobs or family or whatever it might be. And then it's only sometimes when we get to the end of life, we have to stand before God, and that's when we're like, oh, something was missing from my life, and I didn't know, you know? But that's the state a lot of people are in. If a person is a lost coin, they may not even know they're lost. Okay? Number three, coins are found through the diligence of others. Coins are found through the diligence of others. How did you guys find that $20? Ronnie, how'd you find that $20? Yeah, you had to look hard though, right? You had to work at it. They didn't just, it was hidden pretty good. They had to work hard to find that. Sometimes it's the same way with people. If we have people in our lives that are lost, sometimes we've got to be really diligent in going after them to help them see their lostness and help them see how to be found. We read the theme verse already, but the Son of Man came to look for and save people who are lost. Guys, this is the heart of God. This is what God did when he made himself a human being and came into the world. These people don't even know the state they're in a lot of times. Some of us are more familiar than others, but a lot of people are just ignorant. And Jesus came into the world. He cares enough about the lost that he set an example. He left his place of comfort. And he came into this broken world specifically to seek out people who needed a relationship with him. He didn't stay where he was comfortable. And he was all about seeking and saving. And any of us who are disciples of Christ, a disciple is a student endeavoring to become like their master. If we're disciples of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is our master. There are some people that I've encountered. I've been doing ministry a long time, been doing evangelism a long time. There have been people that I have encountered responsibility to go out and reach people. And there are so many scriptures that say the opposite of that, that it's really kind of odd that somebody would come to that conclusion if they believe the Bible is the Word of God. But you know what? You can take all of those scriptures out of it, and if you're a disciple, just if you're a disciple, if you want to be like Jesus, what was Jesus all about? Jesus was all about seeking and saving the lost people. So even though we're commanded over and over to do it, guys, we don't even need those commands if we just want to be like Jesus. If we want to have the heart that Jesus had a heart to reach people. And to be honest with you, One of the reasons it can be difficult for church people to reach the lost sometimes is because of the reputation of church people. One of the reasons it can be hard is because we have messed up so often that people don't want to trust us. And that's just the truth. I've been wounded by church people. I know many of you have been wounded by church people. I didn't come to Christ until I was in my early 20s, and I stayed away from churches precisely because I didn't trust churches. Because there was so much hypocrisy, and there was so much cliquishness, and there, you know, I'd gone looking for help multiple times to different churches and couldn't find it because I couldn't find anybody that cared about me. And so I get it. But, you know, I said in the prayer earlier, I'm excited to be with you guys on Sundays. You want to know one of the reasons I'm excited to be with you guys? Is because we've got a healthy church here. We've got a group of people here who genuinely want to follow the Lord and who are willing to love people hard. And some people, sometimes they come here with a lot of baggage, and people can be difficult to love sometimes. But guys, we just love them anyway. And that's one of the things I love about the church. And so I say that because I know some of you here are seeking. Some of you here may be one of these lost coins. Some of you here may be looking for a relationship with God. You might be wanting but you still maybe struggle with trusting church people because you've been wounded, because of things that have happened in your past. I'd like to tell you there are several reasons I believe you can trust this group of people. And the first reason is, you can trust the people at the Crossings, number one, because we accept responsibility. You can trust the people at the Crossings because we accept responsibility. And what I mean by that is we understand we haven't always been who we need to be. We understand that our messing up has led to other people being hurt. And we accept the responsibility for that. We accept the responsibility for not always being the best examples. We accept responsibility for being like those church people that I was just being critical of. It would be hypocritical for me to stand up here and say we haven't struggled with that ourselves. We have. And we accept responsibility. But another thing is we accept responsibility for changing. We accept responsibility for being who we need to be. It says in Luke 15, verse 9, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost." Notice the lady there who lost the coin. She says, "I have lost this coin." She accepts responsibility. There are people in our lives that are lost today because we haven't been who we need to be. Do you get that? So what comes next? Well, you can trust the people at the Crossings, number two, because we're sorry about that. The Bible says in Luke 17, verse 4, if your brother sins against you seven times in one day, but he says that he's sorry each time, then forgive him. Guys, we acknowledge we are people that need forgiveness. We are people that haven't always done this right. We've messed up, but we don't just want to stay messed up. We don't want to be a church that remains the same. We really do want to grow. We want to get better. This isn't on your notes, but 1 Corinthians 3:13 says, "You must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." Guys, all of us need grace. That's just to point out, every single person in here, we all need forgiveness and grace on some level. And so you're with a group of people who need grace, but the really good news is you're going to need it too. And so you're with a group of people familiar with the need for that. And we accept it, we also are willing to give it. And the third reason you can trust the people at the Crossings is number three, because we're searching. Because we're searching. And what I mean by that is we believe that it's God's will for us to connect to lost people who need God's help. That's why we started this church. We prayed for a long time before a group of us moved over here to this area to start this church. And we're just getting started. We've had, I think, around 20 people who have either given their lives to or had their relationship with God restored since we started a little over a year ago. We've had several more people join our congregation over here that want to get on board with what God is doing. We've got a building right over behind the Home Depot that we're currently renovating and getting sprinklers installed in, and we're going to be moving over there. We've already been in those neighborhoods over there, knocking on doors and making connections with people. We've had several events that we've hosted throughout the first year where we've had several hundred people from the surrounding areas come, and at least they know our name. And what we're hoping, guys, is that over time, and what we know is going to happen is over time, guys, this little church is going to get bigger and bigger, not just by people attending on Sundays. That's really not a gauge of success. What is a gauge of success is how many people that are lost can we connect to Jesus Christ? And the Sundays growing a little bit is just kind of a fruit of that. But it's not about butts and seats, guys. It's about souls in heaven. That's the heart of this church. We are seeking out people who are lost so that we can connect them to the source of life. That's why we moved over here. We're aggressive about that. And it says in Luke 15:9, she will light a lamp and clean the house. She will look carefully for the coin until she finds it. This is the heart we should adopt for the lost people around us. There are so many people in Collinsville that don't know the state they're in. And in the surrounding areas, they just don't know the state they're in. There are people that you know. There are people you have a relationship with. There are people that you are friends with who don't have a relationship with God or who have a relationship with God that's unhealthy that God wants to use you to help. And you new guys and ladies, the ones who recently made commitments to follow the Lord, you guys are in the best position out of everybody to reach out to your friends and family and to seek and to save, just like Jesus does. But there are four different attitudes a lot of people in churches can assume toward the lost, most of which are not helpful. This is part of why church people sometimes aren't trusted. It's because of some of these attitudes. The first one is, you can hate them. If a lost person comes around, well, you can just hate them. You can have contempt for them. I don't even mean like you hate them like an extreme sense. I just mean you just don't like them because they don't share your values. That's the same thing biblically as hatred. I don't know if you guys realize that. Contempt and hatred, pretty much. This is like the Pharisees looking at them. And so you can be self-righteous. You can look down your nose. This is like the Pharisees looking at looking at everybody else that wasn't a Pharisee. They were just self-righteous, okay? Second, you can regard them with indifference. Many Christians have this attitude. You just don't care that much. Yeah, you know there are lost people around you, but somebody else will get around to reaching out to those guys. It's not really my job. I'm not like a pastor, you know. I'm not like trained in this stuff, and so somebody else needs to do that. No. And that's an indifferent attitude. God wants to use you to reach them if you're the one that has a relationship with them. Thirdly, here's one that's common, and this one's more holy, quote unquote, but it's not really. Welcome them when they come to you, right? Welcome them when they come to you. Like, here's this lost coin over here. I'm going to stand over here, and I'm going to open my pocket. And I'm just going to wait on that coin to jump in, right? And if it jumps in, I'm glad it's in my pocket. But I sure ain't going over there to mess with it to get it, right? Guys, what did Jesus do? Because his approach is the one that we really need to adopt, and that's the fourth one. That's to search for them. That's to seek them out. This is the more aggressive approach, but it's exactly the approach that Jesus Christ took. This is why he came into this messed up, broken world. He didn't just sit back passively watching everything unfold like watching a car wreck. He jumps down into the fray. He engages. He puts himself out there. He lines himself up to be rejected. He endures the pain, and he loves people through into a relationship with God the Father. That's messy. You get mess on you when you do that. You got to put up with stuff. But that's what Jesus does. Why? Because that's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves your friends. That's how much he loves your family. He's willing to endure that and to go through that. He doesn't just sit back and say, hey, I hope they work it out. He doesn't do that. That's not our God. We search because you are valued. Why did they look for the $20? Because it's $20. They wouldn't have looked as hard if it had been a penny. They looked hard because it's $20, especially to a little kid. That's a lot of money. But both coins and collectors can forget that they're valuable. Guys, it is so easy for us and for people that are lost to forget they're valuable to God. Have you ever felt worthless? Because I have. I have felt so horrible about myself. There was a time in my life when I was suicidal. I didn't want to live. I know a bunch of people in here, several at least, have been there. You've told me your stories. You know what it's like to feel like you have zero value. And when you feel like you have zero value, there's really no point to any of this. That is not how God feels about any of you. But it's easy, if you're a lost coin, to feel like you're worthless. It's also easy, if you're a collector, to feel like you don't have a place to play or a part to play in all this. God intends to use you to go out and reach those people and then to help you become something more by using you that way. It's this plan that he has to bless everybody, you included. You are valuable if you're a collector. There was a guy, Rockhound, a few years ago. Rockhound is somebody that goes out and collects rocks and looks for gems and looks for valuable minerals and stuff like that. There was this guy named Rob Cutshaw back in the 80s who he had a little roadside shop. If you ever drove around the mountains or out in the rural areas, you see those rock shops and they've got all the minerals and stuff. I used to love those as kids, but that was what this guy did. He owned a rock shop, and he would go out on the mountainside and go out with his little pickaxe, and he would go dig through and find valuable minerals and then come sell them at his rock shop. And he went out in like the 60s, I want to say, on a dig, and he found this rock that he described as purdy and big. That was how he described it. It's purdy and big. And he kept it, $500 for it, but it just sat in storage for years and years, and it wasn't until like 1987 they finally figured out what it was after cutting away a little bit of stuff. It was the largest sapphire ever found. And it was called the Star of David. And it weighed nearly a pound and was estimated in the 80s as being valued around $2.75 million. He was going to sell it for $500. Then he found out what it was. And he had no idea the immense value of this piece of rock that was just sort of sitting there neglected. Guys, that's how people are. I don't care who you are. You can feel like the biggest piece of crap on the planet, but God looks at you and says, no, you're priceless. Forfeit their soul. Jesus said that one soul, one person is worth more than all the riches on the entire planet. That's how God feels about you. And so it's real important that you not underestimate your value and the value of others. It says in Luke 15, 1 and 2, dishonest tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus' sermons, but this caused complaints from the Jewish religious leaders and the experts on Jewish law because he was associating with such despicable people, even eating with them. Jesus saw the value in them. This is what caused him to say these three parables, was these people complaining about him hanging out with these despicable people. Despicable according to who? Well, according to the religious people and their own standards. But people are valuable to God. You are valuable to God. And your lost friends and neighbors and family members are valuable to God. You have a role to play in that. In 1 Peter 1, verse 18, it says, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and the ransom he paid was not merely gold or silver. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." You guys realize Christianity is based on the fact that God made himself a human being and came into the world specifically so that he could die for your sins. And it's easy for us to gloss over that. It's easy for us to forget what he did when he died for our sins. It's easy about it. But the crucifixion was a horrible, painful, terrible way to die. And God could have chosen any time in history to come into the world, but he chose to come into the world when Roman crucifixion was a thing. And when it was normal to execute non-Romans that way. The Jews in Jesus' day were living under Roman rule. Jesus would have grown up seeing people crucified. Because they didn't do it. They didn't do it hidden away. They did it out in the open. They would take you, and they would lay you out, and they would nail you hand and foot, and then they would slouch you down ever so slightly, that it would cause these muscles through here to go into a spasm over time, and it would compress the air in your lungs and push it out where you couldn't take a breath in. And the only way for you to take a breath in would be to very painfully push up on those nails. And that would relieve the pressure and the stress through here so you could get a breath in, and then you'd slouch again, and it would just repeat the process. And that is the worst way we have ever come up to kill somebody. You sit and think, okay, and they would do this where you were naked, where so there's this extra layer of humiliation. It would be akin to doing it out at Walmart or the mall. People walking by, throwing rocks at you, making comments about you, making comments about your private parts, making fun of you. Your relatives are there weeping, having to listen to all of this garbage from all these people. We know his mom was there. It was horrible. And they would leave you there until you just couldn't go anymore. And if they got tired of standing around waiting on you to die, they'd break your legs. It was horrible. And so God, in his sovereignty, knows that that's going to happen before it happens, knows that he's going to be treated that way, knows he doesn't deserve any of this, he's never done anything wrong, yet he still makes himself a human being and comes into the world and allows that to happen to him. Because that's how much he cares about you. People struggle with believing God loves them. But guys, the fact is, on the next blank on your notes, we search because you are loved. And that's the message God wants to ring loud and clear. Whenever you think about Jesus dying on the cross for your sins, God wants you to know, this is how much I love you. This is how committed I am to you. I am willing to endure torture for you in order for you to know how much you're loved. We must adopt that posture towards people if we want to be like Jesus. There's another layer to this lost coin, though. This lady, the lost coin for her probably represented about 10 days worth of wages, which in the parable, if you're poor and you lose 10 days of work and you're depending on that for your family, like there's a very practical need to search carefully and find that. So there's a value. There's another value that there might have been to this coin, though. It could have been part of her wedding dress. Because back in their day, they would take 10 silver coins and they would actually sew them into the headdress if a lady was getting married. And so there might have been sentimental value to this coin in addition to the practical value. Kind of like a wedding ring, you know. My wedding ring's not that expensive. But if one of you came and said, hey, can I take that and throw it, you know, in that lake over there? What do you think I'd say? No, it's my wedding ring, right? It reminds me of the relationship that I have with my wife. According to the world, this doesn't have terribly great value, but it has sentimental value to me. It means something. In 2 Corinthians 11:29, I feel weak every time someone is weak, and I feel upset every time someone is led into sin. There's an identification of emotion here. There is a compare it to sentimental value you might have toward a possession. There's a connection here between the people, the person searching and then the lost person. Galatians 4:19, but oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. A lot of times when I read these passages of Paul, there is obvious that he has an emotional connection to the people that he's working with. And so the question practically that I would have for myself and for you is, as we're looking for these lost coins, is this just about, or these lost people, is this just about checking off something on our box to say, well, we did what God said about reaching out to lost people, or is there a genuine care and concern that you feel in your heart for the people you're reaching out to? You need to ask yourself that, because if we're not motivated by love, we're just going to be like those untrustworthy religious people that are just out for an agenda where really it's about us and feeling good about ourselves and our practicing our religion. Really, we need to be about connecting people to the source of life because we love them and we want the best for them. That's why Jesus came into the world, and that's the kind of posture he adopted to us. He didn't just come into the world looking down his nose at us. He came into the world caring about us and wanting the best for us. And the way you relate to people really needs to come from a heart like that, where you care about them, you want the best for them. It's not about you checking off a box. It's not about you doing something on your to-do list. It's not even about you doing your Christian duty, quote unquote. You can be a duty-driven Pharisee. And that does not build the kingdom of God. That just makes people not want to trust church people. We've got to care about people like Jesus. We search because we are concerned. This is another motive for us. 2 Corinthians 11:29. Besides all this, there is on me every day the load of my concern for all the churches. This is coming from Paul, who was a spiritual father to many of these churches. He went around the country planting churches back in his day, making disciples, forming communities. And then he would write letters to those churches and check up on them. He would send his helpers to go check up on them. He would make visits back and check up on them. He felt a responsibility for their spiritual development. He had the heart of a pastor, the heart of a shepherd. Guys, you want to know what's on my mind? A lot of the time, it's you guys. And I talk with our other staff and leaders. You know what we talk about? We talk about how you guys are doing. You want to know what makes us really excited? When people are developing well. You want to know what causes me anxiety? When people aren't. And it has nothing to do with your being a project. It has nothing to do, from the bottom of my heart, with anything other than being caring for and being concerned with you and your relationship with God. Honestly, And I believe that that is put in me and it's put in our other leaders by the Spirit of God. I believe God has worked in our hearts to help us to become that way. And I know many of you are that way. And it's funny because so many of us in here didn't grow up learning how to love very well. But you will be like the people you spend the most time with. And the thing that draws so many people to the crossings, and the thing that I think God would be proud of, which we've got our weaknesses, I'm not sitting here trying to say we don't. We've got stuff we need to do better. But one of the things I feel like is a strength for us is the spirit of love that's present in the Crossings Church. And spirit of love that will not only encourage you, but will also rebuke you. The spirit of love that will not only lift you up, but will also inform you when you're messing up. I think we see that in Christ. But that's because there's this concern for the souls of people. There's not a concern for numbers. There's not a concern for anything other than helping people have healthy relationships with God. I really do believe that's a strength for us. We're concerned for three reasons. First of all, lost coins lose their purpose. Lost coins lose their purpose. God created us for a reason. He has a purpose in mind for us. And God's desire is to use us. But guys, if we're not right with God, we will not fulfill the purpose that God has laid out for our lives. And I've just got to tell you, the best life you can have is one that is aligned, where you're aligning your purpose with what God has in mind for your purpose. Sometimes we can get caught up in our own plans. Sometimes we can kind of be our own gods, so to speak. But the truth is, if you will get on board with what God has created you to be, you will have the best possible life you can have. And that doesn't mean you'll have a life that's free from trouble. That doesn't mean you're going to have a life that's peaches and roses all the time. Sometimes God calls you into bad situations because He wants to do a work in your heart. Or He allows you to endure bad things because He wants to develop you through it and help you learn to trust Him more. Guys, that's part of living for the Lord. Jesus died on the cross. He was willing to do it. Right? Some of us, we have crosses to bear. All of us, to an extent, have crosses to bear. I seem to have read that somewhere. That's part of it. But living out your purpose, guys, is fulfilling and it's worth it. Secondly, we're concerned because lost coins become tarnished. You ever find a coin fresh out the mint, how it's all shiny and looks nice, you know, the new freshly minted U.S. coins, but then you find one that's 50 years old that's been lost in a gutter. You set those side by side. One of them's shiny and nice. The other one's turned black because of all the garbage. You can't even tell what it is. You got to get like a pair of keys and scrape it off. It's a quarter. I would have never guessed. You get dirt on you. If you're lost, you get garbage from the world on you. And life is not nearly as good. God, you get that garbage off of you, and it's a process. But man, you get your sins forgiven, and then you get to start working on having that life that God has laid out for you. We're concerned because we want people to have that great life that God has laid out for them. Again, great life doesn't mean free from trouble, doesn't mean free from hardship. But man, you can be in the midst of hardship and have a fulfilling, purposeful life. Thirdly, and most importantly, lost coins are in danger of being lost forever. Lost coins are in danger of being lost forever. And they will understand if we don't reach them, if they don't come into a relationship with God, they're going to be lost forever. All of us have got to stand before God someday. The Bible teaches when we die or when Jesus comes back, whichever comes first, we are going to stand before the Lord and have to give an account of our life to Him. And He's going to judge every deed, every careless word, most importantly, whether we have a relationship with His Son or not, whether we've lived in submission to His Son or not. And the truth is, there are people in our lives right now that if Jesus were to come back right now, they would not be in good standing with Him. And it could be that you are the only person in their life that can help them have something different right now. But you have not been purposeful in seeking. You have not been Christ-like in seeking. You have not been Jesus to them. For whatever reason, you haven't gone out of your way to try to connect with them. You have resources at your disposal, guys. You can invite them here any Sunday. You can invite them to get connected with other people that are here. If they don't want to come on a Sunday morning, that's cool. Invite them out to coffee and invite some of your brothers and sisters with you and get them connected relationally. We understand there's a trust gap sometimes that needs to be closed. We understand people need friends and they need people they can trust before they can even have some of these conversations sometimes. That's cool. Go to the movies. Go out to eat. Go out for coffee. Go watch the races. Do something. Get them connected relationally, but be purposeful. Get them into a Bible study. Did you know we train everybody how to do that here? We want you to know how to share your faith. If you've got a friend that wants to study the Bible, we'll pair you up with somebody who can do that with you, and you can take notes, and we'll share the gospel with them. We'll get them into a relationship with God. And guys, after that, we want to help them mature. We want to get them connected in groups. So that, I said earlier, you're going to become like who you hang out with the most. That's so true. And if you hang out with people that are godly, that are trying to do what God wants for them, you're going to become like those people if your heart's open. And the same is true for your lost friends, guys. Get them into relationships with people. But understand, the stakes are high. And we can't be lazy. If you have any love in your heart for your friends and your family, how can you say you love them if you know they're in danger of losing a relationship with God or not having a relationship with God and going to hell for an eternity? How can you say you love them and you haven't done anything to reach out to them or to change that? And you say, well, I'm scared or I don't know what to say. Good. I'm glad you're saying that. Why don't you say it to somebody who can help you? Instead of just sitting back and doing nothing, is that loving for you just to sit back and do nothing? Or should maybe you ask for help from somebody that can help? The heart of God is wrapped up in seeking and saving the lost. There is no excuse for us to sit back and come up with reasons why we can't try to become like Him. There's just no excuse for that. And so I just want to encourage you guys, if this is a struggle for you, man, that's why we are here. The church is a place where we can come together, and maybe this isn't your strength. That's okay. We have people here that are strong that can help you learn. But you know what you need to do? You need to let us know how you need help. Every week at the end, we've got these cardstock pieces of paper in your bulletin called a communication card. Go ahead and everybody pull those out. And I'm going to invite everybody to fill one of these out this morning. Members, guests, everybody. We want everybody to fill one out. We don't do a traditional invitation. Sometimes if you go to churches, at the end of the lesson, they'll say if you want to get up and respond to the message. Get up and respond. That's not how we do it here. We do these communication cards because we don't want anybody to get embarrassed and feel like they can't respond because they're afraid of being embarrassed, right? But what I do want you to do is I want you to think about what we talked about today. I want you to think about the people in your life that don't have a relationship with God that need one, that you could help with that. And you may feel like you're inadequate. You may feel like you're unable, but you know what? God doesn't call you to be able. You want to know what He calls you to be? Available. And so just ask, am I available to God for Him to use me to reach out to these people around me? Do I need to ask for help from somebody? Do I need to learn how to share the gospel? Do I need to learn how to study the Bible with somebody? Have I been studied with myself? Am I right with God? By the way, you can only lead people as close to God as you are yourself. Did you know that? You can only lead them as far as you've gone yourself. So we need to look there too. If you are investigating faith, we would love to sit down and talk with you. If that's where you're at, check on there. I'd like a personal Bible study. If you've been coming to the Crossings for a while, but you haven't yet joined a small group, honestly, that's if you want to join the church, that's how you join our church, is by getting hooked up with a small group, because it's in those small groups that's where you're discipled, that's where you have trained leaders that are going to work with you individually, where you're not just going to listen to a monologue, you're going to actually have a conversation with somebody, and they're going to learn about your strengths and your weaknesses, where you're at in life, what you need help with, how we can pray for you, how we can serve you, how we can help you, your family. That's where the magic happens with this church, is in those small groups. And so if you haven't joined a small group, just mark on your card, I'm interested in learning more about small groups. That's also where a lot of this training will take place in order to help you bless others too. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up. Oh, if there's any prayer needs or anything, put those on there as well. But I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to wrap up this morning. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for bringing us together again today. All of us know people in our lives that are lost. Father, I pray you help us to have a heart for them that's loving and concerned so that we will act. Father, any of us that are driven by duty or just feeling like we have to reach out because it's what we're commanded to do, we're missing the point of what it means to adopt your heart. And so, Father, I just pray that you will, as a church, give us the heart of Jesus. Help us to see people the way you see them. Help us to see their value. Help us to see their worth. Father, help us to see how we can help them, and then help us to love them enough to act. Father, I pray we apply the Word of God to our lives. I thank you for this church. Help us to fill this card out the way we need to fill it out. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.